Again, it's great to be back. I started getting some COVID symptoms about 12 days ago, so it's nice to be out of quarantine. And I had a couple of days of fever and chills, and I got a stuffy nose. And I tried to stay away from everybody. I appreciate Pastor Gilbert coming in really quick and preaching last week. And for Adam, he had a little bit of extra work. Well, I'll make it up for you next month if you have to step out for a week or two. This time last week, I was sort of locked in the peace and solitude of the bedroom. I had no idea that a house with four loud kids could be that quiet, and that was okay until the rest of the family started feeling a little bit of sick, and then quiet time ended, and I had to stop staying away from the four kids. They had so much energy. They couldn't go to school, so the house was just nuts. And then, you know, with the adults being a little bit sick, it was sort of a zoo. So the kids started playing this game called The Floor is Lava in the basement. And it doesn't sound safe, but nobody got burnt, which is good. But my son Jude got a decent ankle sprain. We thought it might be broken, so we had to get him to the doctor, which is fantastic. Nobody wants to see us. And my plans got a little bit disrupted last week. And it's nice to be done with all that for now, but I just want to thank all of you for your prayers and for your encouragement, and Dr. Juan helped us out an awful lot. And for those of you who brought food and just sent encouraging cards and calls, and man, I realize that this is a fairly common experience. Lots of people have weeks like the ones that we had, but it just meant so much to be part of a church family, that to not be sort of alone in times like this. So anyway, Jude sprained his ankle, and which really sort of cut down his floor is lava game. And he had to stay off his feet, and we don't want him on screens all the time. So we decided to break out one of the Christmas presents he's been asking for. And he needed to kind of stay on the couch for a while. So I gave him one of these. This is what he's been asking for. It's, you know what this is? Yes, remember these things? Not a screen. Jude saw these on YouTube. I think it was some like five-year-old kid who could solve it in about 5 seconds, and it looked so cool. So he really wanted one, and so far it's been a little more than 4 seconds, and I'm not really sure if this is ever going to get solved. Right now he's probably at home, like, who took my Rubik's Cube? But it kept him off of his feet for a little bit, and I don't know how these works. Some of you probably know how to do this, but Ashley claimed when she was a kid she had one, she just peeled all the stickers off. But if you ever spent any time with this thing, you know that these are complicated. And again, some of you probably know how to do these. I don't, but for me this is like incredibly mysterious. There's hundreds of moves to make. There's hundreds of ways forward, and there's some moves you could make that are good, some are bad, but if you don't know the secret to this, and I don't, it feels impossible to know what to do next. And at our house, Jude will sit there with this Rubik's Cube, and his sisters and his brothers and his parents all tell him to make different moves, and he doesn't know what to do. And it occurred to me, sitting on the couch watching him play with this thing, that I think Rubik's Cubes can be a little bit like life. All of us are wise men and wise women. We see chaotic worlds and plans and situations, and we all think we know what to do next to make complicated things look more neat. And I think each of us at some point have to admit we need help, that we have to recognize that there's a God who knows how things work, who knows all, controls all, and cares for us and loves us and sees order and paths and goodness when we just see chaos, and a God who reaches down to help us. Today's message is about celebrating Christmas, and Christmas, that event when God came down as a human being to find us right where we are and to help us. Today's message, we're focusing on the wise men, and we're thinking about how to make sense out of chaos to see clearly what steps are ahead of us. Today I'm going to tell you the story of the Magi. It's wise men whose entire lives and specialty was about looking for patterns and putting things in order and trying to make sense where everyone just sees chaos. It's It's a story in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. You can follow along as I read this. It's a Christmas story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." A ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That is what everyone was looking for. They saw how mixed up things seemed. They couldn't imagine how any moves could make sense of the world. So they wanted a wise shepherd, a leader, a ruler who could navigate the things that seemed so confusing. Shepherds tend to be taller than sheep. Shepherds can see a path ahead from a different perspective than sheep can. Sheep are shorter. They can only see what's right in front of them. They see one step at a time. Shepherds can see hundreds of steps in advance. They know what move to make next when there's hundreds of options. And the Magi, these wise men, look at the entire world, and everywhere they look is chaos. And they want a ruler to make sense of it all. And as long ago as this was, as foreign as these wise men may have been, you probably have a lot more in common with them than you might think. Because you've done this, right? If you've ever felt frustrated or disappointed with whoever is or isn't running the world, if you've ever thought about the government and gone, why would they do that? Why don't they do this? Why doesn't someone do something good, make things better? Why don't they just, if you've thought that, you've thought a tiny fraction of what everyone in the Christmas story was longing for, looking for a better ruler. If you watch the news, if you read the paper, if you doom scroll on social media, and you think that our world is controlled by people who are somewhere under the bar of wonderful, mighty, wise, and peaceful, in those moments, you are feeling a fraction of what everyone in the first Christmas story would have felt on that day. And if you feel like that, you desperately need what God gave them. What would help you is to discover King Jesus. And the amazing thing about the Lord is that maybe more often than we like, God has this way of giving better plans than what we have in mind. But often, it's different than what you have planned. And by the way, have you ever wondered how the Magi or Babylonians would have known about, like, you know, if you read the passage, there's like obscure Hebrew prophecy here. You ever wonder how they knew Old Testament Bible passages? It's a big question, right? Palestine, Israel was a very small country, wise men, kings from Babylon, very far away. They wouldn't normally have access to these sorts of books. It's a simple answer. It's, in a word, the exile. If you read the Old Testament, some of the very worst chapters in the story of God's people are awful stories about what they call the exile. Like the Babylonians kidnapped the Israelites, and they took some of the most ugly, violent chapters in all of the Bible are about moments when the Babylonians took Israel in a captive. Think Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who literally get thrown into a furnace for their faith. I mean, think about them going, God, how can you be in control? How can this be part of your plan? God, how can such an awful thing end up for good? And one of the really huge miracles of Christmas that you sort of miss out in the story of the wise men, but all of the tragedy and suffering of the exile, where people are praying and praying and praying, and God just, and there are just giant sections of the Bible where God's people live in disappointment. One of the wonderful things about Christmas is God used that to bring the wise men. That's the only reason why people in Babylon knew about Israelites, is that God used the awfulness of the exile to bring kings to the manger. And because the Israelites were captured and persecuted and sent all over the world, all that to say, I think one of the messages of Christmas is that for those of us who wonder if God can bring good things out of evil, remember that among all the other things you see in this story is that there's a lesson that God brings good things through awful things. God is big enough to use things. Nobody in the exile story never could have imagined that kings from Babylon who took them prisoner would one day go back to Israel, not to take captives, but to worship the King of the universe. Christmas is about the fact that God has a plan. We don't always get to see it, but we trust. You know, here's something we did learn about Rubik's Cubes. Jude and I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, and we didn't really figure this out, but sometimes you get, like, this one looks pretty good, right? A lot of this is white. Do you know what I'd have to do to make this better? I'd have to make it look a lot worse, right? Like, and this is where Jude's at. He's like, this is so close. I just got two things to fix. So Jude's like, I'm so close to this. I got it looking almost the way I want. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm not going to mess with what I have to make it better. I kind of like what I've got so far, Jude goes. Now, I think sometimes we look at our lives and we look at our plans and we go, it's close. Comfortable. I'm pretty happy with what I got now. God, whatever you do, please don't disrupt things. I don't know if you're going to be able to fix this or not. And wouldn't it be cool if I could actually just fix it right now? That'd be such a cool, like, prop thing. But I can't. Christmas, though, is going, God, you may be messing up my plans. You may, like, God, what you're doing might mess up my plans and make my life look less comfortable right now. But I gotta trust that you know what you're doing. Because sometimes God looks at your sort of okay plans and he just messes it up. And no one's plans were about to be more messed up than King Herod. Let me just tell you this story. So King Herod, let me just tell you his story. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born, and they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means among the least of the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Let's keep going. So Herod calls the Magi secretly, and finds out the exact time that the star appeared and sent them to Bethlehem, said, go search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me that I may too go and worship him. And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they saw went ahead of them until it stopped to the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming in the house, they saw a child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is a story about a lot of things. But one of the big takeaways from the story of Herod is that even when we only see chaos, even we don't see a path ahead, we don't see the steps it's going to take to make things look right, God is still sovereign. God still has a plan. And the picture Matthew paints of the arrival of Christ is breathtaking, but it's also alarmingly vulnerable. I mean, think about what the passage says about Jesus. He is the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the ruler. He will shepherd his people, Israel. He's not just a baby. He's the king that takes over. He's disruptive and brings peace to the wisdom of the people of God. And King Herod, like if you read anything else about him in history, we'd call him insecure probably. He had this ruthless ambition that could not be threatened. He's the kind of guy, like, you know, if you move his plans just a teeny bit, he falls apart. So he literally murders his relatives. Don't touch my plans. You can't be king. Don't tell me what to do. And he just was really violent about it. He tried to kill the baby Jesus. And I think there's a message in here, too, that God has for us. It's maybe for wise people, but I think it's also for people who feel a little bit insecure. There's a message here for people who get shaken up when things are hard to understand. Because here's what most people do when we don't know what's going on, when we don't like the next step. Most people feel threatened. We feel fearful when we don't know what the next step looks like. Because if you're like me, I like to know exactly what's happening next. I like to know how to plan. I like to know exactly what's going on. This is a terrible analogy, but in some ways, I'm more like King Herod than the Magi. Because I don't like my plans getting disrupted. I like knowing exactly what I'm doing. I know what's happening next. I like to be in control of what I can control. I think that we're all a little bit like King Herod. You ever wonder why it's so hard to pray? You ever wonder why? I mean, like, it should be easy, right? Spend time thinking about the glorious, most big, glorious thing possible, and we get distracted. Or you ever go, God, thank you for getting me out of this. I'll never forget what you did. And then we do. Anyone else? Or you go, God, thank you for reminding me of this. I will never do that thing again. And then you do. In Romans 7:17, the Apostle Paul says, what I hate, I do. Because I can control it. And it's under my own authority. And it's so hard to not know what's coming next. It's so hard to feel out of control. And so King Herod gets frustrated and angry and threatened and impatient, and he lashes out. And I think maybe today God would have us learn something from the wise men. Here's people who are powerful, smart, capable, and they're so humble. Humble enough to trust. In fact, I want you to look really specifically at what the wise men did, and I think we could learn something from what they did when we're not sure what to do next. What did the wise men do? I mean, they start off asking the question. They just start off being curious. Where is he, the King of the Jews? They ask, and then they search. Very inconvenient, but they go out on their way. They followed the star. They looked and looked and looked and looked until they found the child. And they find this door, and they don't just satisfy their curiosity, they go through the door, they enter, they knock on it, and they saw the child and Mary and the mother, and they fall down and worship the Lord. So what they ask, they seek, they knock. It's the same thing Jesus talks about for people who are looking for answers to do. Jesus says, you should ask, you should seek, you should knock. Just a couple chapters later, Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. And then if you keep reading, he reminds you of how good Father God is. He says, which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If then you who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, we all need help. And I think a lot of us, we don't know what our next step should be. So you find yourself trying to navigate certain situations, or you're engaging with relatives during the season and it's tense, or trying to figure out where to go to school, or what to do with your business, or how to trust, or how to navigate health or family things. You know, our lives are really complicated. You name a scenario, and I think here's what I feel Jesus telling you what to do. Ask, seek, and knock. Start off just praying to God. God, I'm just going to lay my complicated situation at your feet. Could you give me wisdom? And keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. God, where should I go for wisdom? Sometimes it looks like talking to wise people, being humble enough to go, hey, brother, sister, here's what I'm going through. What do you think I should do? When you position yourself to receive wisdom from the Lord, often you get it. Sometimes you ask for help, and sometimes God says yes or no or wait. But either way, doing it, asking, seeking, knocking, gets you closer to where God wants you to go. Here's our lesson from the wise men. Wise men, wise women, seek wisdom. They ask for it, they seek for it, they follow it, and they're humble enough to, even when things are complicated, even when you need to navigate things that are out of your control, even when you find yourself going places, taking steps where you can't see things in advance, ask, seek, knock, follow to the throne of King Jesus, who delights to give wisdom to all who ask for it. So, Father in heaven, I pray that whatever we find ourselves in, whatever sort of difficult to navigate situations, whatever things confuse us, confound us, cause us to fear, Father, can you give us the humility to trust that you are sovereign and you are powerful and you have a plan for us? And can you also give us the courage to ask, to seek, and knock, and find help and wisdom where you've provided for us? Father, be with all of our situations we have to navigate, ones that are confusing, difficult, challenging. Can you give us all that we need, and can you help us to give, like the angels, to give glory to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the all-wise, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor. Father, we need you. Can we find in you everything we need? I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.